97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, we get rolling today, this Tuesday edition of the Jockey Cage Show. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, and it's brought to you, the 6 o'clock hour, by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. I had a lot of hot water in the shower this morning. I needed it. Didn't get enough sleep last night. But I finally did go to bed at halftime of the basketball game because it was not holding my interest. Something where it just says to myself over and over again, what I think I know, I don't know. But we'll get to that. First, we have the happiness, the joy of the 4-0 Phillies. When things look the bleakest, when you're facing Jacob deGrom, who I believe is the most dominant guy out there, is the scariest pitcher that you've got to face. The Phillies outlasted him last night. Every extra pitch they took, every count they ran, every time they fouled off a pitch, it got closer to getting Jacob deGrom out of that game, which got you to the Mets bullpen, which gave the Phillies a chance to do something dramatic. Pat, can we hear what happened in the bottom of the eighth inning of a 2-2 game when all that had to be done was a simple throw to the plate to the catcher to force the second out?
And the pitch to him, bouncer toward third. Guillaume has it. He's coming home. And his
bad night for John Kruk last night as he continues to talk over Tom McCarthy on the play-by-play.
He's excited.
But that's so awful. Turn his mic off. There's a producer that can turn the mic off. That was absolutely awesome, though. And Tom McCarthy brings up an interesting point. The idea of putting the ball in play. Gene Segura did it the other day, which helped the Phillies win a game. The Phillies are doing the little things that it takes to win games. It is only 4 games. But doesn't it feel like 8? It's only 4 games, but doesn't it feel like it's something more? That was exciting. Flyers get an overtime win. Man, and Baylor dismantles Gonzaga. And once again, maybe if I watched more college basketball during the year, I wouldn't be as surprised by what I saw last night. But as we start, congratulations, Phillies. This is getting more fun by the minute. And that's where we begin the 6 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Outlasting DeGrom. Bob, I asked you earlier, who are the pitchers that you saw the Phillies go up against over the years that you would say remind you of going up against DeGrom? He's the boogeyman to me.
Yeah. Well, the one from your old home state, obviously, is Greg Maddux. He was a guy that every time you faced, it was must-watch TV, whether you were a Phillies fan or
sure.
not. DeGrom's there. You go back in the day, I was thinking Mets, Dwight Gooden in his heyday.
Like
when he was
three-year window.
Yeah, before he messed himself
up. Unbelievable.
But very few guys like that. I mean, this guy was throwing 100 in the sixth inning. You know, and his location. He's going up to basically the Phillies batters and saying, see this? I'm throwing it. A fastball every time I throw the ball, but you're not going to be able to hit it because my placement is so good.
There was a stat in the fifth inning of the broadcast, and I had to write it down, that 7 of the 15 hardest pitches that he's ever thrown in the major leagues he threw last night.
Is that right? I didn't see that.
On the broadcast. They talked about it. And I wrote it down when they said it, and I even rewound it. 7 of the hardest pitches he's ever registered on a meter.
That's not good.
Last night against the Phillies.
That's not good because you're going to have to face them again this year.
but guess what, though? It's one of the things, and it's this right now. Jacob deGrom is the boogeyman.
He's the best pitcher in baseball. I think
he's a machine.
We debated yesterday, him and Gerrit Cole. I'm probably going deGrom most days. He's that good. Here's a stat for you. Jacob deGrom now has a 2.07 ERA since 2018. The Mets are 36-41 in those starts.
That's disgusting. He must be.
I can't imagine how frustrating that is.
Sorry. Here's something I brought up to John before you came in this morning, and I wonder if this kind of rings true with you guys, too. So you're a team, you're facing DeGrom. He goes seven innings of pretty much unhittable ball. Right, and then you bring in a bullpen. I mean, the bullpen has to look like they're throwing beach balls after watching that, right?
Yeah.
So his greatness might contribute to the bullpen looking so mediocre during a game.
Maybe.
And do you, and what did we see last year with the Phillies? You'd see a strong pitching effort.
Yeah.
That would get blown up by the bullpen.
Yeah.
Now, you never saw nobody threw
that
like
kills
nobody
a threw team's like, morale.
Nobody threw like DeGrom on the Phillies staff last year. But that is Pat. That can be something that snowballs. Last night's loss can beat you twice. Because next time you go to the bullpen, you can think, is this going to happen again? Because you saw it last year. You lived it.
I could not believe that the Mets manager pulled him after 77 pitches. And as soon as he did it, I thought, oh, that's going to backfire. Like, there's a good chance of that backfire. Because there's no doubt that Jacob DeGrom probably would have went 8, if not 9, because he was dominating the Phillies so much. And they pulled him.
And they wanted him 100 pitches.
No. It said before the game, though, they were talking about they wanted him back this weekend. And I thought they had said 84.
They said 100.
Yeah, I thought I heard
really?
Crux say that they said 100.
Wow.
Well, I mean, 77 is...
He's their Gabe Kapler now, Rojas.
I mean, that is...
You love to see it.
No, you do. But the thing is, though, a bullpen going bad, this would be something that could really, really help the Phillies if we can see it happen two or three more times in April. Because I do believe that snowballs.
I do, too.
That
more than any other sport, John, baseball, I really believe things snowball. I do.
There's such a mental part of the game, and I don't know if it's because it truly is something about the game or if it's the fragility of baseball players. Because I've always, and it may be incorrect on my part, it's just my assumption, dealing with professional athletes in my entire career, I've always thought the most mentally fragile, the thinnest egos, everything always was baseball players.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's probably part of that. There's also just so many variables that can go into something going right or wrong in baseball. Like, look at that play last night. You know, the bullpen gets the pitch they need. They get the ground ball to third to force an out at home. And just, you know, 4 inches off the line makes the catcher miss it. And then it's just like, boom, floodgates are open. It's just everything's got to be right in baseball, and there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Can we talk about the list? Because there are two guys that are quickly approaching the list. And I...
You know what? You just made the list.
I have done no, since the beginning of the season, since opening day, no cheap shots on Adam Haseley. No cheap shots. I have not made any jokes about anything that I was making jokes about before. Adam Haseley is proving me right. Every game you watch him. Every game you watch him, he proves me right.
He's not looking great.
He's not great in the field.
That was bad last night.
What the hell was he thinking?
I don't know. I mean, first steps back, but I don't know how he didn't have that one.
And then there was another play. He threw it in from the outfield and didn't take like 2 seconds to throw it. Threw wild back into the end from the outfield. And at the plate, what is his approach? How long, Pat, do we got to go? I said I wanted to give him a good 25, 30 games.
I would go more than that. I'd go half a season.
I can't do it.
I'm going to ask you nicely to try.
I can't do half. Bob, I got to see glimpses. I got to see, you know what? I have to see Adam Haseley through Egan's eyes. And I can't.
Well,
because I don't see it. Because the Adam Haseley that I see play is the Adam Haseley I see through my eyes. You know what?
He hasn't looked good this year.
I got to see him through your eyes and Tyrone's eyes.
Yeah, look.
Tyrone's another one.
He has not looked game. But he has not looked good. But it's only been 4 games. He's only played in 3 of them. So it's one bad series.
And that's why I said no cheap shots, no nothing. Just that was a horrible game last night.
Well, yeah, your center field position for now. And I think the way that Tyrone and Pat are looking at it, it's not so much that they think he's good. They're looking at it to give him time to see what he is.
Oh, no, Tyrone thinks he's good.
You know,
and
so,
Pat thinks he's good.
Well, I don't think they're casting him as horrible yet because they want to see more of him. I'm on with Pat. I'll go a half a year. But the thing is about this center field position, right now you're hitting eighth. All you have to do is play defense and not hurt the team. And when you make an egregious play like he did last night, that can't happen when you're really not contributing much else.
I can't give that guy. I can't give him more than May 1st.
Yeah, I was very on the fence, optimistic, you know, want to give him hope. And
it
all
still could happen.
It sure could. But I'm probably more on your side of things now.
Oh, my
now
gosh.
Than,
all right, now we get to the next one on the list. And he wants to get to the list.
You know what? You just made the list.
Rhys Hoskins.
Well,
Rhys Hoskins, every freaking game, there's something. There's something where he clogs up the base paths, where he does something stupid. You do not make that second out of that inning at third base against Jacob DeGrom, ever. There's no reason for him to be trying to stretch that into a triple, ever.
Does his good piece of hitting late in the game cancel that out?
No, because
that was a nice piece of hitting.
No, because I don't want, you know what is worse? It's the guy that you can't count on to make the smart decision, that one time he's going to know what he's supposed to do, and the next time he's not. Like, I can't have that.
He's got to know his own speed.
What the blank are you doing? You're going up against Jacob DeGrom. You've got an extra base hit. By the way, the guy gives up the least number of extra base hits in the National League. So you get an extra base hit in the bag. You run like you've got a refrigerator on your back.
Look at this. You're fired up like it's September baseball already, right?
The thing is, though, Bryce Harper's run himself out of extra base hits twice.
He's an angry elf.
Twice this year. Bryce Harper's run himself out of into an extra.
I think Joe wants him to be like this.
We're going to show you how aggressive we are.
I think Joe likes that.
Against Jacob DeGrom? It's stupid.
Well, there's two thinking on that, maybe. One is what you say, John. What are you doing? There's one out, and you get a double, a sure double, and you get thrown out of third.
And then Harper and Real Muto are coming up, and a single scores you.
But right. He didn't break the golden rule, first and third out of third.
No, I hear you, and that's one of the stupidest rules
ever. It's one of the stupidest rules I've ever
heard. The thinking also could be when you have a guy like DeGrom and you have those rare opportunities, like you said, an extra base hit, why not try to get to third with one out? That way a fly ball, something can score you easy and you get a run off a guy you don't see getting a run off. I don't think he was thinking that last night, in all honesty. I think he just made a bad decision. But at the time, face value, stupid. Stupid is the first thing you think of. But then I started thinking more of it. Maybe they did have an approach of, if you have a chance to get the extra base because it's DeGrom, do it.
With Rhys Hoskins, he already got the extra base. He was in scoring position. And you have, then you take an RBI opportunity early in the game away from Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto. It makes no freaking sense. And by the way, I guarantee you, and no one from the Phillies will say it, but I guarantee you that was in the scouting report. That I could, if you showed me the scouting report, somebody would say, if you get into scoring position, watch yourself in the base paths. Get this guy. Get the opportunity to have two opportunities to have somebody knock you in.
Probably.
Don't get thrown out at third. He runs like he's got a refrigerator on his back.
Yeah, he's
got
to know his own speed.
He's
the slowest dude on the team.
I have terrible form. I have terrible form running. I run horribly. Horrible form. He wasn't taught to run right. He wasn't taught to run correct.
But I think that this is the approach you're going to see all season long.
Oh.
Because we've already seen it happen with Bryce Harper. I don't have a problem with them being aggressive, and I kind of side more with Bob about, well, all right, you know, you're going up against DeGrom, and I hear everything you're saying, and it makes perfect sense, but I think this is what you're going to see, because I think if Dusty Wathan had put up the stop sign, that would have been a big deal. You would have heard more about it. It didn't seem like he did. So I think they're going to be aggressive this
year. Well, John, they're following, you know, some great footsteps. My old softball team, the Crop Dusters.
That's what you do.
We used to say, make the other team make the mistake. Be aggressive.
Yeah,
so,
well,
you know,
what?
Joe's just following our lead.
Were you facing Jacob freaking DeGrom?
Well, many people said he was the DeGrom of Manny Young softball.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
same guy.
So, you know,
I see that. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, that I stand
guy's name was Chuck. He worked in refrigeration.
Yeah. Nasty split.
And the best part of the pre-show meeting today is Jamie learning that Jacob DeGrom spells his name with the little D.
Yeah, no, I didn't notice.
He's of the Grom clan. He's French.
So fancy.
He's of Grom.
I didn't
notice.
So
I thought he would have to live in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
The DeGroms live right down.
The DeGroms are not in Montgomery County.
You know, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance. Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance. You only pay for what you need. Customize and save with Liberty Mutual Insurance. And we've got the Sixers and the Celtics tonight. It's a good sports week. It is. When baseball's back, Your sports calendar is so much better.
It is excited.
I am excited.
Egan said to me when we took a walk this morning, he's like, what'd you watch last night? And I said, it just wound up perfectly that Phillies, Flyers, and then later on with the NCAA championship game, it all lined up for me. I didn't have two TVs going or anything like that, but I caught every Flyers goal on the switch around.
Right.
Caught all of the big play. You know, I watched 95% of the Phillies game, but saw everything in that. And then that all ended just in time for the NCAA tournament game. So it was just a great sports night, carried over from a great sports weekend.
Flyers, Sixers, Phillies tonight.
Yeah. It is great having the Phillies
five,
back.
Sixes and
just
Phillies.
Something every night you're almost guaranteed.
And, Pat, good job on the Flyers broadcast last night on that Flyers victory. I want to make sure they get enough crap from everybody when they lose. That was a nice win last night. And honestly, it saves the week. It could, because you have two more shots at the
Hope
Bruins
is alive,
week.
Yeah.
You're playing a third string goalie.
Yeah.
But you got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and they did. It's unfortunate, though, that it went to overtime, obviously, because you only gained one point. But they fought back, and they ended up tying the game and winning in overtime.
Was that guy's NHL debut?
No. Was his third game? Third game, I think.
Okay, is that what it was?
I think it was his third game.
I know I heard something, but I wasn't sure.
I don't know that it might have been his first start.
Oh, okay.
But I can look it up.
Yeah, but he had, like, no need. No need. It wasn't that interesting.
The game last night?
I was.
I would say that Alexa being able to watch the Phillies on the TV, being able to have Alexa play the game, so they see there are some advantages because they didn't have to flip last night. So I didn't even bother putting on blue paint last night.
No flip or flop.
In the I used to like flip flop. In the Cooney's Corner today, the NFL had a big trade yesterday.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, so the Jets make the move. Sam Darnold goes to the Panthers. Now you wonder what they're going to do. But the thing that, more so than how this affects the draft and how it might affect the Eagles, is it crazy or am I just maybe overseeing it that doesn't there seem like a lot of high-drafted quarterbacks have been traded recently, and they're constantly on the move, which made me come to the question that I wanted to ask you guys. Is that the hardest position to draft in all the sports?
The 2017 draft class, I think, had five quarterbacks in the first round, none of which are with their current teams.
It's crazy,
isn't it?
Here's
the difference, though. And you may be overlooking something. The contracts. You don't have to give the rookie contracts anymore. You give a slotted spot to the amount of money. So it's so much easier to draft a quarterback and say he's not the guy. We'll do it again. Than it used to be.
Yeah, Matt Ryan, when he got drafted, was making more money than Tom Brady.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah, Sam Bradford.
Yeah, Sam Bradford was one of the highest quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, it's insane.
But it is amazing.
It's
really tough. I mean, you get a franchise quarterback more times than not. I know the money, but more times than not, you're going to say, okay, we got him. Boom. Here's the money slotted here for him, and we build around him. It just doesn't seem to be the case all that much lately.
Who would you
it
say?
It seems like quarterbacks are going all over the place.
Let me just take what I think are the four best quarterbacks in the league, and let's go over where they were drafted. Patrick Mahomes was what, ninth overall?
Eighth.
I thought he was 11th. Tenth.
He was 10th.
Russell Wilson was third round. Aaron Rodgers was 24th. And Deshaun Watson was 12th.
12th.
Not bad, huh?
No, think about that.
Look at the brain on you.
I'll add a little spice to this conversation.
So I saved
it in the notes.
Quarterback desperation is a stinky cologne.
I would have paid that price for Sam Darnold.
He's only 23. He's younger than Joe Burrow.
He's 23. Yeah. I would have paid that price.
I probably would have too.
I would have paid that price if I was the Eagles. I absolutely would have paid that
Mel
price
Kiper
for Sam Darnold.
Said he did the second quarterback taken coming out this year.
I would have taken Sam Darnold.
Whether
off
that's
their
true
hands,
or not, I don't
and
know.
And I believe Sam Darnold will be successful in Carolina.
So do I.
Do I think he's going to be Aaron Rodgers? No.
Joe Flacco-esque?
Do I think he can be better than Danny Dimes in New York? Yes.
Yeah, totally.
I think he can be better than what he brings to the Giants.
I think the issue is the fact, it's a double-edged sword. So it's the instant gratification society where coaches no longer have five-year plans, they have two-year plans. So when they draft a quarterback, they're less likely to have him sit and learn for a year, and they throw them into the fire. And then because of that, if he struggles quickly, they pull a hook. And then what John said, I didn't even thought about that with the rookie contracts. It makes it easier for them to move. So when was the last time you saw a quarterback get drafted high and sit? It seems to rarely happen nowadays, where 25 years ago was the norm.
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
Aren't all swords two-edged?
No.
No?
I'm not a swordsman.
Samurai swords are...
Jamie is a swordsman.
No, I'm not a...
I was a swordsman in college.
No, after. some like Japanese swords are dull on one side.
Like a katana?
Are they?
Yeah.
Good knowledge by you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have paid...
Coach was making a face at you.
I would have paid that for Sam Darnold.
I believe you.
When I do a 4 and a 6, I would have thought long and hard.
2, 4, 6...
And you keep your 8.
Whatever. I'm telling you.
Let's make it a poll, John.
I love Matt Rhule. I love Matt Rhule personally, professionally. I really do. I think that is a slick maneuver. And to me, Matt Rhule just, I believe they'll make it work with Sam Darnold. I don't think he's going to, and again, I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, a Pro Bowl, even a Pro Bowl quarterback. You can win with him.
Yeah.
If Jimmy Garoppolo can have a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl, he can absolutely do that with Sam Darnold.
I'll tell you, it would have been interesting if Howie would have pulled the trigger there and you
I
say,
I would have done it.
Have a battle.
I would have done it. And I would have felt good with a 23-year-old quarterback with a bunch of playing experience, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's valuable.
An overnight said he was put in a horrible position. It was constantly coaching changes, no good personnel.
And he played for the googly-eyed
Gase.
Adam Gase.
Who, by the way, I will raise my hand because I'm not going to be a person who that's who I wanted when the Eagles hired Doug Peterson.
I wanted the Gus Bradley. I was on the Gus bus.
Yeah. In fact, I may have sang... I'm all about the Gase, I think I did a...
Oh, no, you didn't.
Might have to dig that up.
I think I did a thing for my network show. I was all about the Gase, and I even wrote a little ditty.
Oh, no.
You wrote a little ditty, you did, huh?
Because you love singing.
I was all about the Gase.
Oh, he wants to sing so
and
bad.
And I was all about the Gase.
Yeah.
And so I'm just taking ownership of that because I know I don't delete tweets. So I know that I wanted Adam Gase.
I'm going to search at John Kincaid
Gase
right now.
Oh, I wanted Adam Gase. I've taken ownership of that one. It is Masters Week 2. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This is spectacular.
I told you last week it's my favorite time of the year.
And the only day that we have any rain chance, I think, is Friday afternoon. And it's going to be beautiful. We're having great weather. So much to do. NCAA championship game last night where I totally wet the bed. So much going on. Stick around with us, won't you? It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Now, with all this nice weather coming and everybody getting into that springtime mode, you're thinking, whew, I made it through another winter and I don't have to replace my windows. Wrong. Because you see, right now there's a great deal for you from Window Nation. I don't care what kind of windows you want. You want bows, you want beige, you want picture windows, you want garden windows. I looked yesterday at windownation.com and found out what a garden window was. Guess what? Whatever window you got, 50% off, plus 0% financing for 18 months. This is a great deal. With over 1 million windows installed and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you've got to get into Window Nation's great deal. I want you to window shop online at windownation.com, and you're getting 50% off every style Window Nation window. Any kind you want. 50% off, plus 0% financing for 18 months. Stop putting off. Do today what you don't want to have to do next winter when it gets cold again. It's Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Call them, 866-90-NATION. Tell them Kincaid sent you.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show, 8 o'clock hour comes your way. Brought to you by our friends at Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. Tom is in local law enforcement.
What do you say, Tom?
And he said, John, and we appreciate that. And he says, you guys are good. Should you be on the far end of Route 3? We're all good. Any listener of the, any of us in the crew of the John Kincaid show?
Excuse my ignorance. Where the hell's Route 3?
Well, that would be sort of like the Upper Darby.
Okay.
Hamilton Court. He says,
I'm really bad with road names.
He said, we're good.
All right, cool.
We're good. The John Kincaid, he said, and he says, and we're growing in popularity with his peers, too.
Oh.
He says he hears more guys mention that they're listening to the show.
I always said those officers were smart.
We love them.
Yeah.
We love them very
absolutely.
Much. And thank you. Especially when we come in contact with them and we
hopefully I never need that. Yeah,
I hope we don't need that. But let's just get to that. He says to me, he says, John, be careful. You and Jamie had an exchange yesterday about the Apple CarPlay.
Yes.
He says, be careful though, because a lot of people think that the Apple CarPlay isn't distracted texting because you can verbalize it. He said, it is still some level of distracted driving when you are texting even verbally. He goes, just be careful. But it is far better than ever having your hand in your phone.
Oh, absolutely.
I never do that.
I have the button on the wheel, then I just speak to it.
Right, so do I.
So I can at least keep my eyes on the road.
Right, he says it's still that is still considered a level of distracted driving, but he says it is extremely better option.
Jamie has his personal assistant in the back seat just texting for him.
I mean, shoving a Big Mac in your face is also distracted driving, too. So you know what I mean? A lot of people eat while driving.
Do you love that? Do you love the when you're reading text? Like, Cooney sends you a text. Hey, Bob said, text from Cooney. Because whatever you have somebody in the phone is, it tells you, text from Cooney.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Like, my college buddies, somebody named the chat Brochain, and it has a hot dog and a hamburger at the beginning and the end. So whenever it reads that, hot dog, Brochain, hamburger says, and it makes me laugh every time.
We play a game on the Shaq podcast of... by the emoji game. So you had to be able to identify celebrities or somebody by emojis.
Okay.
So
it'd be like, I used to do that with Quizzo.
It's like the old Lion's Head beer caps. Man, you got to figure it out.
It'd be, but always, because it's Shaq, it'd be white man dribbling a basketball. Short shorts, like shorts.
John Stockton.
Exactly. So that's what it would be. You have to play by the game, which is a fun game. That's a fun, tasty item. That is always good. Oh, it's good. And I did get scheduled, by the way, for the people that are reaching out now. Yes, I did get scheduled.
Good, good.
There
good.
You go.
And at today's neighborhood drugstore, CVS.
Would you know the jingle?
Yes, that's what I did. Today's neighborhood drugstore.
Why did you say that? Sorry, now he does it again.
Well, wait a minute. It's not like I was getting. It's not like I was going to get my vaccination at Rally House. Rally House. Shut your mouth.
It spread to my wife this weekend,
and it's on the Phillies game.
Because it's on the Phillies game. She started singing it. I was like, "Wait, were you with us Thursday and Friday?" John wouldn't shut up about Rally House.
Shut your mouth, get into rally. I don't even know the words other than rally house.
Yeah, you've made up your own jingle.
Yes, I have.
You've completely made up your own jingle.
And one of them is foul. I added one foul word because when you add one foul word, it's more fun.
I have to go there.
It's more fun. When you add one foul word, it's fun.
I'm going to be going there shortly.
I love some really fun items there. In fact, I told Christina and Olivia, maybe birthday and Christmas with the new man cave coming. Because they have so many man cave stuff. So
yeah, it'd be they great. Do have a lot of that.
All right, as we begin the 8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show, a little later than usual, I would like to say this right off the bat. The Phillies and the Mets opener last night was absolutely delicious. Because Jacob DeGrom scares me. I'm a grown man, and I'm scared of when I see Jacob DeGrom on the mound, I'm scared. And I was really wondering, how's the Phillies' back end of the rotation going to match up in 2021? And last night, I felt, again, back end of the rotation, I just want them to give you a chance to win. Keep you in the game. I don't expect them to be able to pitch like Wheeler. To be able to pitch like we expect Nola to pitch. I'm not expecting that. I just want a fair fight. Jacob DeGrom, you're going up against one of the best. And last night, bravo, Philadelphia Phillies. Bravo, Phillies. You outlasted Jacob DeGrom last night. And it was glorious to see the Mets bullpen implode upon itself. One thing I know about the Mets organization, not mentally tough. And their owner just did us a favor yesterday, boys. Did you hear the quote from the Mets owner? My commitment to Lindor tells my commitment to winning. I expect this team to be a playoff team. Cohen just did us a favor because he just put immense pressure on all their shoulders. Every single DeGrom outing, they need a win. There's going to be pressure on that team. And I'll tell you, if they just go into a getaway, start out 3-7, 3-8, things could be bad for the Mets. Their owner did us a favor, a rookie mistake, putting pressure on the shoulders of a mentally weak organization. Congratulations, Phillies. I'm loving 4-0. I'm loving 4-0. And Steve Cohen made a classic error. He took a mentally weak franchise that he bought, and now he says, well, I spent $340 million, so I showed my commitment. Now you guys got to go win. I love it. Delicious. I love it when the Mets implode upon themselves. And yes, that's what I'm going to think is going to happen. And that's where we begin the 8 o'clock hour. No pressure here. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach Eric Camille with Connor and with Dylan's running the show this morning on the TV side, or no? Dylan's not directing this morning. Sean's directing.
Sean is, yes.
Hi, Sean.
Sean is in the house.
Sean's in the house. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob, an owner in the first week of the year of his first season telling his team, well, I spent my money. He literally said this. I made the financial commitment. I expect this team to be a playoff team. This is the exact owner I want the Mets to have. A guy who puts undue pressure on his team right out of the bat.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a smart move, right? Look, you put your money where your mouth is, I guess, when he started all this, and he went big right off the bat. Why wouldn't you? But, yeah, I don't know why you do that game one of 162-game season.
Dumb.
It doesn't seem all that smart. But, you know, maybe he took a read of the locker room and said, these guys need a swift kick in the ass saying, let's go. We're a playoff team. And maybe it was thought out that way and that he did it. However way he did it, I agree with you, John. Good. Pressure on you.
I love it when somebody else does you a little bit of a favor, Jamie.
Yeah,
and I think that's what happened here.
I think it's also pretty dumb to give $340 million to a shortstop.
I would agree with you.
Like, I like Francisco Lindor a lot. He's fun as hell to watch play, plays a great defense. It's a shortstop. Like, is that really how you want to invest your money? Good. I mean, if that's what you want to do, go. I'll sit here and reap the benefits. But, like, this whole Mets preseason World Series being sixth. Look, when Syndergaard and Carrasco get back, they have a really good rotation. But come on, it's the Mets. They love crap in their pants.
They do.
And,
they do.
You know, good.
They love crap.
It's historical.
Bob, I feel lost because we would, in Atlanta, we would sing for 20 years, every time that the Braves beat the Mets. Because that was the only common ground that my partner and I had.
Yeah, hatred of the Mets.
We both hated the Mets. He's a Braves fan. I'm a Phillies fan. We hate the Mets.
Yeah.
So we sang Beat the Mets.
I had a listener email us some lyrics I'll share with you at the break.
Because
I'm not singing. Yeah.
You wouldn't sing?
No.
But we would sing Beat the Mets, Beat the Mets. Yeah. And every time there's one. And people would wait to... When are you singing today?
And you know what's great about the Philly start and the Mets implosion last night? The Phillies aren't even really hitting yet. No, not even a little
like
bit.
Like, their home run leader is Andrew Knapp, and they're 4-0.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not getting to
Wait till the bats start coming around.
I would tell you that they're still, though. I've kept my word. I have not done the cheap shots on Adam Haseley as far as what I was saying. Because during the offseason, I might have been a little cheap shot-ish with some of the complaints I have about Adam Haseley. But what Adam Haseley has done out of the gate this year is exactly what I complain about.
Well, the nice thing about Dave Dombrowski is if the center field position by the trade deadline is still floundering, he'll go get somebody.
Here's my concern. Dave Dombrowski lied to us last week. He said that Adam Haseley and Roman Quinn won the jobs. That's a bunch of crap.
I don't think Roman Quinn's winning anything.
Roman Quinn hasn't won. Roman Quinn would be hard with the Iron Pigs to win a job. That is, I just don't want to be lied to. Say you didn't want the PR nightmare. Say you didn't want whatever it is, but don't lie. Don't tell me they won the job. Adam Haseley didn't win the job off anybody. Adam Haseley was drafted very, very high, and you have got your fingers crossed, your toes crossed, and you're lighting candles at church, hoping that he finally comes through and shows you a glimmer of what you thought he was.
Well, let's go a step further. Let's say we're going to give Adam Haseley a shot.
Oh, that, right? Guess what? I said
yeah, exactly, John. You talked honesty, and I think I spoke about that at spring training, saying, look, I don't know how you're going to handle Odubel Herrera, and however you do, be honest with the people. Be honest. Obviously, you have to be honest with him and with the team, but be honest to us. What's going on? Are you going to give him a shot to make the team, and you're satisfied with how he's conducted himself post what happened? You know, just be honest. If you came out and said right away, look, we're going to give Adam Haseley a shot to be the everyday center fielder, I think we'd all
and
be okay.
And Pat, that's what I told you. I'm totally on board with it, but I can't. And I said 30 starts for him before I would really unleash and be frustrated. I don't know that I can go more than that, though.
I think you should try.
Pat, what do you see? What do I said to it today. I put it in my notes. Try to see Adam Haseley through Pat Egan's eyes. And I honestly, I have no idea what you see.
It's more to do with...
You see potential.
But yeah, it's the potential. I don't think he's nearly as bad as people have made him out to be. I think he came up and people just assumed that he was this or that and he couldn't play. And those conclusions, people have run with them. And look, he could suck. I mean, Jamie will tell you that history shows you he will probably suck because he was drafted by the Phillies. But my whole assertion is... You know, baseball is it's more of a crock pot, not a microwave, and it takes time for these guys to develop. You look at Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich didn't become Christian Yelich.
That's a good analogy.
Thank you. I got a golf pot now.
I'm going to shut my mic off and I'm going to head
off. That's a crock pot, not a microwave.
I want that on the, I want that posted to the show website.
How long has that been in the back pocket?
Been in the microwave.
Put that on the Twitter feed. So Pat, you get credit for that.
And you know what's funny? My New York buddy is always like, what's with you Philadelphians and your crock pots? He goes, anytime I go to a house party down here,
I hate it.
It's always crock pots.
We just talked about it the other day.
Why do you hate crock pots?
It was
Betty's go-to.
Oh, gosh.
Childhood memory.
And it was always Monday. For some reason, I always think it was Monday.
That did she work?
She worked at Bryn Mawr College.
So it was probably easy to set it up and just let it slow roast.
My mom would do that. I think it was Monday. And there'd be a day of the week.
Well, Mondays suck, so it's nice to have an easy dinner.
Horrible pea green.
Oh, I know exactly the one you're talking about with the little flower trim around
the crock pot. And when I would see that on the counter in the morning, I'd know that. I mean, it was terrible.
I love it. Usually serve out of the crock pot? It just wasn't good?
No. People loved my mom's cooking. My mom's cooking in anything but that lousy crock pot.
Oh, okay.
I do not like anything with the consistency, the mushy consistency.
I love it.
So like a stew.
Oh, yeah.
She'd make stew in it.
Over some egg noodles?
She would make beef.
It's like beef stroganoff.
She would make beef stroganoff.
What do you call a bunch of... Cows.
She would make beef stroganoff in there. She'd make stew. She would make stewed chicken with the dumplings.
She'd stew
the chicken with that white. Oh God, it was awful.
Oh, it's awesome. Wow.
Awful. Sorry, Mom. We went and saw Mom yesterday. Though. Her gravestone was put in place over the weekend.
Oh, good, nice. So that does usually take a while.
It was nice, and then so we put some flowers there yesterday.
Yeah, we did. I did that on Sunday.
See, good stuff.
My parents.
Hey, Staples has everything you need to be organized and productive, like home office furniture, the latest tech, and organizational supplies all at amazing prices. Get a fresh start with big savings from Staples. Olivia was getting threatened by her mother, going, you will not do that, and your father will not talk you into it. That I said, well, how about you spread a little of me at the Bellagio fountains? And a little bit at the link, and a little bit at down the beach. Spread a little bit thing, and her
mother, I'd love to be at the beach.
Her mother goes, "Don't you dare! Don't you dare!" And I said, "Well, if you die first, you will have no say in it. You will absolutely have."
Why is she against it?
Because she wants to be with me forever.
Oh,
that's cute.
She wants us to be
adorable.
She wants us to be together forever. And that's surprising because you know how freaking annoying it
You'll
is.
You'll be singing jingles in the grave, Jeff. Rally yeah, house. And then Christine's like, get me the hell out of here.
Be walking, you'll be over
change my mind.
It might be the best time she'll ever have with him.
I said, though, it's the idea of, we haven't chosen where we would be yet, but it'd be like, you're over in Peter and Paul. And you're just walking down one of the rally house,
So my wife is very Italian.
Okay.
Italians like mausoleums.
Those are expensive.
Her whole family is in mausoleums.
Now, wait a minute.
We had this discussion this weekend. I'm like,
no, wait, do they
throw
have
me in the backyard? I don't care.
Do they have, they don't have their own mausoleum. They're in one of those.
They're in
like a drawer.
Did you ever walk through a mausoleum?
No. Yes.
Yeah, I have, but it's
a 98% Italian.
Yes.
But every name is an Italian name.
Christine
it's hysterical.
Latin. She's Latin. Right. So they are the Latins are very much too.
Yeah, so Donna's big thing is the mausoleum. Going in the mausoleum,
Yes.
I just refuse to talk about it. Because when I first entered the family, her older aunts and uncles would sit at a table and actually talk about this. Like where they're going to go, the mausoleum. Oh, we looked at the mausoleum. It's a party. Why are you talking about that?
Hey,
I'd rather live life.
Why don't you party with the Parx Casino Sportsbook app, too? The best in live in-game betting all tournament long. And now that the tournament's over, you got tonight. How about the trifecta? NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball right in your backyard. In Cooney's Corner. Don't even tell me this, Bob. Don't even tell me.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
And, John, I only bring it up because I heard it not once. Maybe twice. Definitely three times yesterday from three different entities.
Uh-oh.
One, I think our afternoon show even brought it up.
Yes.
I think Mike said something along the lines, they were talking about something, and I caught it when I was in the car, and he said, and then Devontae Smith could still be there at number 12.
And I got to tell you this, and I wouldn't miss an Ellie without a drug test, because it sounds like he's all on board with them taking the third or fourth best wide receiver. He's trusting Howie Roseman to find the third or fourth best wide receiver? Come on, Mike.
No, I have to be honest. I didn't hear the full context of what he was talking about.
I was listening to it a little.
All I heard was Devontae Smith at number 12. And I listened to two national shows yesterday that both mentioned Eagles grabbing a wide receiver, whether it be Waddle, Devontae Smith. They could still be there at number 12.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not kidding you. I may lose my mind if they draft a 12 and
they're not going to
taking a wide receiver.
They're not going to.
I swear.
I know you're set on defense. Jalen Waddle's the only guy I think that's a possibility.
But still, you're saying it. It's a possibility. I'm going to explode.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I will scream.
I'll tell you why.
If you take the third or fourth best wide receiver when you were sitting there at six.
I know.
You are a simpleton.
But why do you believe that?
Because they just took one last year. And since 2011, I've looked back at their draft history. They've spent 15% of their high capital picks, which I believe is first and second round, on wide receivers. 4% more than any other position. They're not going to do it again. This is a rebuild, a retool. There's too many holes. They're not going to go wide receiver. It's one of the biggest variables of failure there is. They're not going to do it. I'm telling you, I feel it in my loins.
Okay, you're telling me.
Yes.
That on April the 6th.
I do not believe they're going wide receiver.
You trust in him.
Well, that's a different thing. Don't put those words in my mouth. But I don't trust him to make the right pick.
You say they're doing I believe they're not going
wide receiver. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I just have this fear of, when we train it back knowing that we got a quality wide receiver that is going to be as good as...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Was the best receiver in the draft.
My head. 12. I had a dream last night that my head exploded right in front of me because they took a wide receiver at number 12.
What's the Schwarzenegger movie where the head explodes?
I want an explanation. I want an explanation because I got to tell you, I did cardio yesterday during Mike Messina's show. I got to hear a lot of it yesterday. I was not happy that I think Mike's
on the wide receiver train. I don't think it's going to happen.
That he thinks they can do it.
I really don't.
I swear to you. I
feel this one deep in my bones.
I will just warn
you
this.
I hope your bones are right.
I will just warn you this.
Never broken one.
My dad was a mailman. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to say I don't get it at all.
Okay. Rain, sleet, and...
See this, it's all right. No. I was going to tell you. Sixers Celtics tonight, 7:30.
Was that...
Wait, are we dumb?
Yeah, you are dumb. You are dumb.
Pat, did you get that one?
No, I didn't get it either. Okay. I didn't get it in Temple.
Coach,
so.
Did you get that one?
You ever heard the expression, go postal?
Oh.
Wow.
I was going to say.
You could have just said that.
Tell you, it's crazy. All right, coming up.
Yeah, that was out of left field. Jamie
is convincing himself. Jamie is convincing himself that this is really, really good news. Something out of Las Vegas. We'll get to it next on the John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic.
Baseball playoffs are here, and PropSwap wants to be your best sports betting month ever. So PropSwap is offering a money back guarantee. Sell any MLB championship ticket, and if it wins, you'll receive 100% refund on their service fee. And there's no maximum on how much you can get back. PropSwap has thousands of buyers across the country willing to pay big for your bets. Go to PropSwap.com today or download the PropSwap app. Remember, better odds than at any casino. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. I've been to PropSwapper for years. So take my advice and go to PropSwap.com now and check them out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.